This episode of Putting It Together is brought to you by Chick Murray, a funny place for a window.
They were talking about this and that, and these are things of which I know very little. In fact, I went to the doctor's the other day and I sat down, and the fellow sat next to me, and he said, "What do you make of this?" I said, "Well, I don't think much of that." I was fascinated with this long-nosed woman. Somebody nodded to her. She nodded back and cut the cake. The bride was in tears. So was the cake.
Playing at venues across the Central Belt this August. Come along. Give yourself a break. Hello, hello, and welcome yet again to another episode of Putting It Together. How the devil are you? I seem to be saying that quite a lot recently, sort of, you know, when you get a wee phrase of the week, a wee default position. Yes, but it is by way of asking you how you're doing. I hope you're well, and I am making some changes in my life. I'm not going to go too much into the detail because what happens is I say, I'm doing this, and then if I don't keep it up, I feel bad. But I'm trying to make some subtle changes in my diet, and let's just say I feel a lot better today than I did, that I have been feeling recently. And it's challenging, but I'm working on it. So I hope that you are breathing well and eating well and sleeping well too, because that's what I'm working on, and drinking plenty of water. I don't want to, I mean, we're at risk of turning into some sort of health and spirituality podcast. This is a theatre and arts podcast, but I do encourage you to stay hydrated, and that's okay. I mean, you know, you can have both. It's good to have both, isn't it? How are you? I hope you're doing well. I am at my favourite time of the week. I'm sitting here in my wee studio in Glasgow, ready to talk to you and ready to bring you my guest, who is Joanne McGuinness, an actor and indeed all-round hilarious person. We had such a laugh, and I hope that that translates to you. I hope you enjoy it. Actually, I was trying to edit it earlier on, and I mean, I did tidy it up, but a lot of what I was going to take out is because it's not like strongly related to the arts, was so much fun that I just decided to leave it in. And also we keep referring back and forth to bits that we've said, so I was just like, I'm not going to take a big chunk out and deprive you of that. So actually this week's episode is probably a bit longer than usual, but I think it'll be fun. I think you'll enjoy it, and I certainly enjoyed listening back to it, and I'm glad to be with you once again. So yes, what else have I got to tell you? We are beginning the promotion now, the promotion trail, I suppose, for Chick Murray, A Funny Place for a Window. As you heard at the top of the show there, it's running during August. And the main dates I want to highlight are the 19th to the 26th, which is when we are at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And we're at the Stands Newtown Theatre. It's venue number 7. Tickets are selling pretty fast, and there are still some available if you want to come along. That's the time to do it. You can get your tickets at edfringe.com, or you can get them on the Stand's own website, thestand.co.uk. So, yes, it's an exciting time because it means that this show, which I really do believe in and think is great, is getting another outing, and it's getting to be seen by a wider audience, which is great too. And to get a chance to bring it back to its spiritual home, the Oranmore, which is now, I think, almost totally sold out. Certainly 3 out of 4 nights are completely sold. And if you can't make it in Edinburgh, then please do bear in mind that we're at the Oranmore the 14th, 15th, 28th and 29th. And then on the 30th and 31st of August, we have a limited little run in the Beacon Arts Centre, which is down in Greenock. So those are the available dates, and you can keep an eye on Chick Murray Play, the hashtag Chick Murray Play on Twitter to find out more. So we're going to start promoting it tomorrow, and then a bit of rehearsal next week, and then we open. But it's one of those things where it's a show that we've done before, and a number of times before, so we'll rehearse a little and it'll come back. At least that's my experience. It, you know, you start going through it, and it's in there somewhere. It is in my brain somewhere. Thankfully, the last time we did it, I recorded a lot of the music instead of playing it all live, just to give it a bigger feel. So I don't have to go back through and remember every single musical cue, because a lot of it's still put down in recordings, which is good. But yes, I'm looking forward to getting back into it. It's such a funny show, and I love working with Dave and Mo, and of course Stuart Hepburn, who directed and wrote the piece. So, great, no complaints on that score. What else have I got to tell you? I'm going to Australia in September. And I decided instead of going all the way for the job and being exhausted and then coming back, I'm going to have a wee stop off in Thailand, I think. I wanted to stop off somewhere that's on the way. I got offered a few options and some of them involve going via Dubai but then coming back to Dubai to then go out further to get to Australia, if that makes any sense. And I didn't really want to add an extra flight. It's more that I want to break up the journey. So I'm hoping to stay for a week in Bangkok or somewhere around there and see what I can discover. I feel like I'm sort of, I've had a wee bit of an experience with my trip to India that I feel confident enough to get the backpack again and go to youth hostels, and I kind of know what that vibe is. It's a lot less unknown than it was before I went to India, so that's okay. So that's, I mean, in a way, I'm kind of looking forward and thinking that August is Chick Murray, September is largely that trip, and then October, it will be the beginnings of leading up to Christmas, believe it or not. And I've just begun to make sort of plans for that. I won't say too much about that now because it's early days. But yes, in a weird way, and probably not the healthiest way, in my head, this year is kind of booked and done. But it is important for me to stay now. And that's what this podcast does that for me, because right now I'm just right here talking to you, bringing you the episode, you know. And managing to stifle my yawns. I don't know what it is. I need to find out about it. I need to do a bit of research, because when I sit in front of the mic or when I try and read aloud, I've noticed I have this thing about yawning, and I think it's something to do with thinking that would be a thing that I don't want to do, and therefore, you know, it's like, don't think of a pink elephant. I think, oh, don't yawn, and then before you know it, I'm yawning. So I'm trying to get control of that, and I'm struggling with it a wee bit, but I don't know. Yes, I need to look into it. So, yes, I am keeping the yawning at bay for you as much as I possibly can, because I don't want you to think that I'm not having a wonderful time. It's really nothing to do with the show or, you know, the content of whatever I happen to be saying at the time. It's like a strange affliction. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. That's the weirdness. And I'm going to, after the show goes out, I'm going to relax a wee bit, because I'm actually off this week and I'm going fully into that. I've been watching a bit of telly, I've been sleeping late, but I've also been tidying the house, cleaning up a bit, sorting a few things out. So, there you go. I'm not even going to edit that one out. I'm leaving. There's so many. So yes, I'm delighted to bring you this interview with Joanne. I hope that you enjoy listening to it. I really enjoyed listening back to it. She's a great human being, and she's got a really wicked sense of humour, which I enjoyed a lot. You know what I'm like with that. And I like a callback as much as the next guy. So when we got to a certain point in the episode and we were referring back to earlier things, I realised at that point, well, I'm not going to start digging in and cutting this unceremoniously to bits. I'm just going to give you the whole thing, even if that does make the episode a wee bit longer. I'm sure you won't mind. So before we go to that, I want to remind you that there are ways that you can support the podcast. You can do it through social media by following me on PitCCPod. That's Twitter and Instagram, PitCCPod. On Facebook, I've got a page, and you just search Putting It Together and you'll find the page. And the most important way that you can support is financially, and it doesn't cost much, it doesn't have to, but whatever you can afford is appreciated. If you've got a spare bit of cash and you think the show is a worthwhile project, bear in mind that it comes to you completely for free, and we're coming close to 100 episodes completely for free now. So think of that if you're considering donating, and you can do it by going to puttingittogethercast.com and finding the yellow donate button, and that will take you to PayPal. It's very simple, very straightforward. You can either donate one of the set amounts, or you can pick your own amount and you can make it a one-off donation, as much or as little as you like, or you can make it a regular donation, so monthly or whatever suits you. So bear that in mind, that it's very simple to do. And if you like the show and you think it's worthwhile and you think, you know what, if I saw him at the Trav or the Tron or wherever, I would buy him a coffee, then why not do that digitally and support the show? Because it helps me to bring the fantastic guests to you that I do, and it would help to improve the quality of the show and increase the amount of time that I could give to the show, which would only make it better. So think on, and I'll bring you now my guest of the week. It's Joanne McGuinness. She's with me and we are Putting It Together. you got in the car there and you said something about being anxious, and I was like, yeah, I've had a bit of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And within 2 minutes, we were talking about, like, clinical anxiety.
I know we were.
And I didn't even acknowledge the fact that, but in my head, I was going, this is amazing. Like, you know, the way that people normally would talk about a sore arm. Maybe we're getting to that point. Maybe that's not about oversharing. Maybe that's about reduced stigma around mental health.
Being honest. And
how
just,
about that?
I know. But I also think if you're used to talking about it all the time, it's normal for you. And like, you
yeah,
know,
to me, it's totally normal.
And me too. So when we start chatting, it's just like, oh, my anxiety felt less like this today. And
but I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
So, but because you just said it, I was like, all right, so, okay.
Let's go with it.
Hey, it started.
I know.
That's good.
And if you feel comfortable about something, then why not?
Yeah.
Sorry, is it high?
It's all good. You just have to be...
Sorry, I keep turning. You've got a swirly chair. It's tempting to swirl around.
It's not allowed.
No fun.
No, this is a very serious podcast.
Now I'm waiting for the serious questions.
No. It's just chatting it.
Just chatting that.
Serious. That's the thing I did when I first started this. I was like, what questions will I ask?
Oh, you know, did you have some in your head?
I thought I might have to. And then I was and then I just didn't get around to doing any prep. And then I realised that worked fine.
Yeah, meeting people and seeing what happens.
I mean, one of the very early episodes was David Gregg. And I was working at the Lyceum at the time, so I met him in the Lyceum, and I was like, before I went to meet him, I was actually scribbled on a bit of paper. I was like, fuck, I better. I don't know, I suddenly felt like, how can I go into an interview with this guy without preparing it?
I know, I'd be like, look at the back catalogue of everything, just in case.
But then, do you know what? You just talk to people, don't you?
Yeah. Like and bounce off.
Like we did in the car.
Exactly.
How's your anxiety getting on?
It's a good chat. I know. I was like, oh, it's all right. Not great.
I don't know.
Mine was more because I was... I had also been out celebrating the night before, yesterday, and because I'd eaten all the raw onions and everything when I got home.
Can you just recap that for me? You got home, you decided you wanted cheese on toast.
I just wanted cheese on toast when I got in, and like, just whenever I have any sort of drink, even like one or two, I just start to crave like raw onions on cheese.
On cheese?
On cheese, not just
don't
like...
Don't eat it like an apple or anything.
No, not at all. I mean...
That would be a weird trait.
It would be. No, I can't. Like, I've never been so bad that the craving's been like...
In the pub. Guys, just wait here.
Although I did once. I was like waiting to go into the garage, that brilliant nightclub.
Oh, the garage. I thought you meant you were going in to get like petrol.
No, I just saw your like face when I said the garage. I was like, come on, you've got another garage.
I do. It's just been a while.
I was queued up with like, I don't know, my pals from Airdrie, and we were waiting to go in. And do you remember, I don't know if the King's Cafe's still open, you know, like...
I know it well, yeah.
Is
I
it still
it,
there?
I think it is, aye. Elm Back Street.
So I was in the garage queue, it was popular, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I was like at the back of the queue, and I was like to my friends, oh, I'm so hungry, I need to get something to eat. And they were like, okay, don't get something smelly, like you always eat smelly things.
So you're known for that.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, right, okay. So then I went to the King's Cafe and I got a roll, like a ham roll, like it's a ham sandwich. And I was like, just have some raw onions on that. And I went back to the queue and they were like, you are not eating like a raw onion sandwich before we go out of the club. I was like, just eat it. And they were like, you're definitely not going to get a pool tonight. It's just me like.
Oh, God. You're like, it's really going well. And then someone's getting close. Like, what is that?
I know.
Oh.
I was like, I don't care. I'd rather be like, have a full belly before I start dancing.
I think that speaks about self-confidence, though. No. Or like being comfortable in your own skin. You're like, yeah, I want raw onion. What of it?
And what of it? And exactly. And just, I think it's just, that's my thing when I have a drink in me. That's like cool. Some onions and cheese and
I'm trying
spicy
to be more
stuff.
Like that. Like not with the food thing, but just like, you know, doing things because that's what I want rather than like,
yeah.
Oh, that might not suit everybody else.
I know, you can't, it's been so long.
It's not sustainable, is it?
I know.
But I've done it for a long time, like, oh, maybe I should, maybe they won't like if I do that, and actually, fuck it.
If you want that role in the queue at the garage.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's just an example, to be clear.
Yeah, I know, I don't know if that's the bravest thing I've done in my life, but it's certainly one of the most random.
But is that kind of indicative of how brave you are on a bigger scale? Like, do you take risks? Do you jump off the ledges and just like see what happens? And
maybe silly risks, I think.
Really?
I don't know so much in like a I don't think I take many risks in a rehearsal room, though.
Where it really might be useful.
Where maybe it would help me in my career. Like, yeah, I think it's more... yeah, that would be a good idea to do that. I think, like...
I'm glad that we could help here.
I
know. You go away with, oh, actually, yeah, maybe I should, instead of eating raw onion in public...
Yeah, maybe that's...
Apply it to my work.
I should apply it to my work.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, just do my own thing and, like, I don't know, like, especially when I was younger and stuff, like, I definitely was the first person around me that was like, I want to try doing something creative. And
right.
So that a time for me, that was like about out there and brave. And I think even like my cousins and stuff, they still think I'm a bit like quirky, I guess.
Quirky.
That's what they would say.
I know.
But you know, I'm...
I know you hate that word and I do.
They
but
do.
I presume you hate that word.
I know I do because it's like...
Reductive, I think.
Yeah. I think, you know what I mean? They just think that... you're just a bit out there and... But you're not really. You're just...
Well, it's all relative, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do your cousins do for a living? Just give me an example.
I mean, I've got like 400 cousins. Like
big family. Big Catholic, Catholic family.
You know,
yeah.
Catholic family for Airdrie.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I shouldn't have asked. Okay.
I've got lots... And I love all my cousins to bits. I've got... They do all different kinds of jobs. But we are close and stuff. My cousin Louise, she's doing something I think is a bit out there. She's like training to be like a farmer.
Oh.
She went out to Copenhagen for like 4 years and she's like come back and she wants to get a farm and like grow like organic veg. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's now hipster.
Yes.
Where it would have been like one of the most original, you know, way back, like the most basic things to do. And anything else would be weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of turned on its head, isn't it?
Yeah, it's went full circle now.
Yeah.
It's like hipster now to be a farmer.
I was in... I think I talked about this on the show.
Did you go to the Flying Duck? Not to talk over you.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That's
so hipster.
That's like for me, when I think hipster, I think of the Flying Duck.
But actually now you can't... I mean, 5-10 years ago, the Flying Duck was like super... The epitome of hipster, but now there's so many places in Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to even pinpoint what's the most hipster. I mean, I was in Duke Street the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And they've got like proper hipster coffee places that look as if they've not finished decorating it.
I don't think I've been around there for ages.
Yeah. One of the places I couldn't help but make, it's such a dad joke, but I was like, this will be nice once it's finished. I mean, it's like peeling walls. And I was thinking, see in 20 years, we'll look back and we'll think, how mad that we thought that was somehow attractive.
They're like, where was the wallpaper?
Yeah. To just not do it.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what would be cool if we didn't bother? All right, okay.
I know, just
seems like
alone.
An easy way out, doesn't it?
I know. Well, they find out they like moved. Do you remember it used to be the club was in like the bigger room?
It was in the base. Is it all in the basement now? I mean, I've not been there for years.
I know. Well, I used to go like every weekend with my friends and it was always like the pub in one area and then like the dance floor.
Yeah.
And where you could get like toast from at night, you'd get like toast
yes.
and stuff.
Do you have raw onions?
And I'm like, can you have some raw onion on my toast?
They knew you were coming. We need to get a couple of raw onions in. McGinnis
couple of
is
raw
coming.
A wee shot of tequila and a raw onion.
She's got classy people coming.
I know. She wants to smell her best when she's out dancing.
Obviously.
But then like I didn't go for ages. I was working somewhere and then I came back and we came in while my friends were all like, woo, we came in and they had switched the club room from the bar room,
right.
So and made the club like a restaurant. So we were like dancing, coming in, and it's just like tables and chairs in the dance floor. We're like, what's going on? Like, this is a restaurant.
What? No one told you?
No, we were like, what? And they're like, the club is next door now. And I'm like, hold on, you can't just start like changing the rooms and like not warning everybody. That's
and you're
weird.
Actually, people are like getting their. Checking
they were.
Balmoral and you're like
I was like can we get all the single ladies while I'm getting
I'm saying checking Balmoral it was probably like
it definitely wasn't checking and there's
no some sort of
it's like
couscous
a bean curry
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of vibe
yeah, yeah
like they had a hot dog to remember they had like a
they have a veggie hot dog
yeah vegan hot dog
I've never had a vegan hot although I have just had
yeah we have
a Greg's vegan sausage roll
I know
I think I was a bit more taken by it than you
I know I made a sound that was like oh, what is that?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this, but at the time I was talking about doing a job that's like kind of loosely organized and doesn't have a stage manager, and you were like, I thought you were talking about the job. Like, oh God.
Yes, I don't know how I feel about that non-equity contract.
Yeah, that's awful. Oh, you were talking about the sausage
roll. I was just talking about sausage roll.
Okay, that feel better now. I can do what I want.
Just felt a bit dry.
It's a wee bit dry, but I think part of the thing about the other one being not dry is that it's greasy, so it's kind of, in a way, it's nice to get away from that.
I was talking about the contract.
Ah, very good. Do you want to co-host every week?
I can just sit in the background and make dad jokes if you want.
I can't give you a mic, I've only two, so you'd have to just shout. Aye, well, that sounds quite the thing.
It's fine, I've told you, get a really loud voice. It's my mum's favourite saying. She's like, you and your dad have got the loudest voices. We do.
Two of you in one house, though.
Aye, down Airdrie Main Street, I'm just like, blah, blah, blah.
I used to spend a lot of time in Airdrie. My pal lived in Petersburn Road.
Right.
And I used to stay with her all the time. We wrote stuff together. She used to be the senior lecturer at Coatbridge College.
What was her name?
Sarah Jane.
Oh, no, Sarah Jane. Oh, dear. Yeah. We don't know each other well, but it's because we're both from Airdrie and, like, no.
Right.
Actually, I went on holiday with her sister. I went when I was, like, 17, 18. We went.
Eileen?
No, she's got their younger sister, Leslie Ann. We went, there was, like, 19 of us went to Tenerife when we're just out of high school.
That sounds awful.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the massacre? It was, like, we all arrived.
Oh, God.
And it was just like carnage because none of us had been like, we're all from like, I don't know, your mum's dad or like, we'd go to Coatbridge and that to go out, but
right,
you know.
Edge.
The Edge, did you go to the Edge?
Yeah.
Oh my God, are you still always been the Edge?
we may have crossed paths in the Edge. My God.
For the Edge, for me, reminds me of that. Do you remember the bass would just be like, she take my money, like, do, 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 do,
and
like,
yes.
Do you remember the Edge would vibrate?
Yes.
Just that bass. And they just played that song like every hour. Yeah. On loop.
So that was the prime time of you being there, was when that was like...
That song, yeah, yeah, Gold Digger was just like roaring out of the Edge. And
that is a great song.
It was great. It's the Edge era. Yeah.
Yes, spent a lot of time there. It was funny, you should mention about that holiday, because I know that one of your first jobs was with Disney.
Yes.
And you had to, in a sort of a similar way, like leave home and kind of...
Yeah.
Live in maybe less than auspicious... Digs.
It wasn't the best. No, I know. I said to you when we were coming in that it was like one of my first auditions after like Showcase, and I was very like wet behind the ears. You're saying that you
good saying, which I get mixed up with green behind the gills, green around the gills. Oh God, carry on.
Anyway, wet behind the ears. I was like totally went into the audition just because my pals were going, and it was like Disneyland Tokyo. And there was like a panel, and then a guy had sort of tapped me in the shoulder. Well dodgy. Like, he genuinely had like a Del Boy jack on. Like, I'm not even joking.
So you should have known.
I should have known. And you know, I used to know his name, because it was like 11 years ago or something. I feel it was like Harry. He'd red hair.
Right.
And like a mustardy coat. And, but do you know how when you think of someone, you've like, the years go and you exaggerate them. Like, in my head, he's a cartoon now.
Yeah.
He's not
the
real...
Disney version of that guy, probably.
Yeah, and he's just like, yeah, exactly.
The Disney villain.
Captain.
Yeah.
And he sort of tapped me on the shoulder and was like, come in this room. And then I went in, he was like, you know, put this wig on. And I was like,
shut up.
Wait, just you and him? No, there was another lady. So it was a little bit more professional than with someone
Slightly.
Else. Slightly.
Come in this cupboard, put on this wig.
I was in Pineapple Studios as well.
But there was someone else there. I'm relieved by that.
There was someone else there. And they put this wig on me. And I was like, oh, what's happening? And then like they took a photo of me. And they were like, okay, we'll phone you in a couple of weeks if you've got a job. And I was like, right, okay. And then I told you I was working at the call center at the time.
Did they tell you what the job, what like they were interested in you for?
No, I had no idea.
But you knew it was Disney something.
I just thought, maybe they did, but I think I was overwhelmed by the whole experience.
Having the wig on, being at Pineapple.
You know, putting the wig on, like just being out of my house. Like
just being in London for a start, yeah.
I just overwhelmed by it all. I was like, I've already done a showcase this weekend.
Ooh.
And I've bombed that, so like...
Yeah.
I've just bombed that Tokyo audition. someone just took me in a room. And so, yeah, then I went back to my job. Well, I was still at Gamta.
Right.
And so at the weekends, I was working for TeleWest, NTL Virgin Media, Extravaganza. Whoever was the...
At that time,
At the time, whoever was like claiming the company.
Was that in Glasgow or was it out near?
No, that was back in Airdrie again.
Be Cogent, that's the name I was looking for, because everyone used to go and work in that call centre.
Everyone.
And I was like, was it the Airdrie call centre? And I couldn't remember the name of it. So it was like I was telling you about my call centre job, run by a big thingy, like Be Cogent.
And they'd sections.
Right, and it was depending on where you sat or what came up on your screen was where you were inverted commas, Colin from.
Yeah, so exactly. But right. then, but we also had like, I don't know if your call center was the same, but it was like sectioned off and there was like J.D. Williams. Do you remember them?
What's that like?
So like I didn't work
for them. T.J. Hughes or something?
It was like a catalogue that older people would get to buy clothes. They'd phone up, and so lots of my pals worked there, so I could see them.
Right.
And then I had some friends who worked at Travel Line Scotland. Oh. Do you remember Travel Line Scotland?
Is that the buses and stuff? Is that like getting bus times or?
No, it used to be that you'd phone Travel Line, and they would say, "Where do you want to go?" And it was like six people at a desk, and they would figure out a route for you.
Oh, like you would do on online now.
Like Google Maps before we had Google Maps.
Wow.
Because
didn't know that was a thing.
Because 11 years ago, nobody had Google Maps on their phone because you just had like Snake and stuff. Do you know what I mean? It was
and
like
if you follow that, it's very unlikely you're going to end up where you wanted to go. It could happen, but Snake. Just be by chance.
We only had Snake to show us how to get where we're going.
So no one, everyone was just going in circles. And if had a more up-to-date phone, if you went on the end of the street, you would appear at the beginning again.
Exactly.
Like,
just munching your way along.
Munching your way along.
That's what they did. My pals in Travelling Scotland.
And you were in the NTL Virgin Media bit.
Originally, I was TeleWest when I signed up for it, but then every week I would come in, there'd be like a different...
They changed hands.
It would like, they'd slide along... just like a massive bit of card that said NTL. The first day I came in, it was NTL. They said to me, great news. Because I was only there on a Saturday. Like, they'd do everything Monday, Friday. Right. And I would show up and they'd go, great news. On Monday, we merged, TeleWest and NTL merged. So you're going to get phone calls from NTL people.
Right.
Just so you know, you can't get into their accounts. So just pretend you can see them. Yeah, scandal.
So what were you supposed to do for them? You can't do anything then.
So they would come through and I would be like, I mean, it was like, I don't know, it was me, you know, they'd be like, hi, like, you know, NTL, here we are. And they would be
definitely
like,
not how you're supposed to answer the phone.
No, definitely not. It was be cogent. I mean, there's nobody stopping us.
Hi, NTL. What did you say? How you doing?
I can't remember.
Here you are.
Hi, welcome to NTL. And they would say, I can't believe my bill is £69.90. And I'd go, £69.90, you say? And I'd like write that down because I couldn't get in to see it.
Let me just get your account up here.
Figure out why that happened. And then they would be like, can you tell me why that's happened? I'd say, well, I'm not 100% sure. You know, have you phoned any 09 numbers? And they'd be like, we did phone an 09 number. Like, oh, it must have been that then. And they'd be like, I was like, I'll give you a £5 credit for your time. I gave everyone a £5 credit.
Right.
Because there was no
restraint. You couldn't do that you just had to write that down and take it across the room, I couldn't do it
for the NTL people because I keep getting their accounts.
Right.
But I did it for TeleWest when it came.
That was good.
So I was doing that. And then it became Virgin Media one day as well.
Good news, we've merged with Virgin Media.
It was.
Have we right? Okay.
Is that right? I was like, who's Virgin Media? they were like, you are now Virgin Media. But by that point, people were getting mad, you know, getting angry. The calls were getting really... you know, get me down the dump. Well, not really me, because I'm just like...
You don't care.
I mean, not really me. People were mad.
Right.
Society was angry.
Sure. And then you got presumably a call from the mohair coat guy.
And then my mobile phone... You weren't allowed mobile phones on the floor. Did you have that as well?
Yeah, well, I did that. And then I also worked for NHS 24 and they were very strict about the mobile phones.
They would be for that.
Yeah. It was good. I enjoyed that job. But anyway,
phone
goes.
My phone goes and they're saying, hi, do you want to come with Disneyland Paris? And
so you give him a £5 credit and said yeah,
and I was
sure.
Like, yeah, do you want a £5 credit? Have you called any 09 numbers recently? And they were like, no, so you've got to come out in 2 weeks time. So I just went over to my manager and I was like, I'm leaving. They're like, thank goodness, like, can you please
can you go now? How soon can you go?
You're the worst person in here. Pack up your stuff and go. And so then I was like, woo, left be cogent. And
did you leave that day or was that you giving your notice?
No, I left. They let me go that day. They were like,
amazing.
Please leave.
No, they weren't.
They were, honestly.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I was honest, like 19 and I've shown up every weekend. And
useless, yeah. And
I was completely useless.
At night, presumably going out Friday night.
Going out to the garage, obviously, getting my rolls.
So you're stinking a raw onion.
Stinking a raw onion.
And you're giving everyone £5 credit. It cost them a fortune.
Did you ever go in the booth when they play back your call?
Oh, mate. I remember the it was Goldfish, the credit card one that I was telling you about.
Okay, yeah.
And they had all these different credit cards and whatever. And the boss woman was just like, she told me I wasn't allowed to say okay.
Really? That's,
you're saying
that
okay
is well
a bit
strict.
Much. It's a, what did she call it? It's an irritant. It's on our list of irritants. You can't
say
that.
It makes people annoyed.
Apparently.
Oh.
I think what makes people annoyed is being missold PPI, but whatever.
Aye, exactly.
Because that's basically what I was doing, selling PPI.
Oh.
For credit cards, yeah.
I see.
And that was the big... If you got, like, the card protection thing, you would get a bit of a kick for it.
Because
it was like, if you lose your card, we'll send you a new one and something, something. And it would cost, like, a £1 thing of a tenner. And you could get a wee bit of commission for that. But if you sold the PPI, the commission was much better. So that was the big fish that you wanted to sell.
So you're the reason why everyone's now, like, claiming my PPI?
Yeah, they take it off me.
They come back to you.
That's why I'm skint.
Is that why you're doing the podcast?
Every 3 minutes, I get someone claiming £7,500 off me. Because I signed up when I started a Goldfish. I am liable for all the
You're
funds.
Liable for everyone that you sold it
so to. So when Goldfish collapsed, I had to file for bankruptcy. I just did this podcast now. Goldfish owns this house.
Goldfish now own everything. These microphones,
it's
everything.
It's all theirs. I am nothing. I'm an irritant.
But that sounds really strict. Like,
that's full on.
Because, I mean, if she came to be Cogent, she would have had a heart attack. Because, I mean,
well,
listen.
You were there for a start.
Listen to my calls, because I would be that. See, when they take in the room, you'd just be willing yourself, wouldn't you, to be good? Like, you would be like, because
please let this be a good one.
Wouldn't you go, please, yeah. I know I've had some bad ones recently. And then it would start, and it would just be like, I could just hear myself being like, what was that? I could hear myself getting crisps and just like move, do you know what I mean? Like picking things up. And then people would just say a simple thing like, hi, I'm here to phone my bill. Like pay for my bill. I'm here to pay my bill.
Right.
And then I would be like, can I just put you on hold for a wee second? And then they would just, I'd have to sit through the whole time with the...
Right, listening back.
Yeah, because then it would be me like, dude, and then you do the music. So then while you're like observing yourself, you're just willing yourself to come back.
Hurry up, yeah, get the coffee and come back.
Yeah, I'm like, come back. Please,
where
come
had you
back.
Gone though? Where
just
you...
to talk to the people next to me. I'd just have went, what were you saying about that? Yeah, blah blah blah. And then I'd come back and go, sorry, can I just ask your question again? I mean,
wow.
And they'd be like, this is like an unacceptable call, you know. And yeah, I'd be like, oh no, I'm so failing at my job. So when it came through, like my first job, it was a saving. Well, I thought it would be a saving grace, but it got me out.
So you went to Paris like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I just showed up in Paris. And there was like 12, I think there was like 12 new starts every so many weeks.
Right.
And
to be characters at Disney.
To be different people. So so from that audition, because the wig they'd put on me was Belle, and I didn't realise at the time what was happening, but it was called Approved. So they were like, you've been approved as Belle. I didn't realise this word was like...
So they take that picture and it goes around all the Disney folks and they go, yep, she can be Belle.
Yeah, they then thing. It's just like it's like a profile thing or something that I found out later on.
Right.
And so then, but I didn't realize it was this like big thing to be like approved by a character, because when you start working, everyone wants to be like, you know, people are like dying to be Tinkerbell. So they were like, I really want to be approved as Tinkerbell. And
so they might be in the goofy suit, but they're like, I'd love to be approved as Tinkerbell.
But that would be a tall Tinkerbell. That would be like.
That's true. Shouldn't have picked Goofy.
Yeah. So like, yeah,
the tallest
all
Disney
high.
Character and the smallest one.
Yeah, exactly.
Idiot.
But then, because when you get your height, it's a big thing. It's like.
Right, the height's really important.
They're like, that's. But they said, see, when that guy took me into the room and like put the wig on, he said, what height are you? I said, I'm 5'4". He's like, you need to be 5'6 to be Belle. We'll just put you down as 5'6". I was like, okay. So when I got my like pack of characters that I could play, it was all for someone who's 5'6".
Wow.
So the days, because you do like Belle, your face character for so many days, and then you get, you have to go in like a head suit for like one
all right.
day of the week. You're off, so you're not like smiling all the time.
So who were you in the
I
suit?
Was all the people that were 5'6". I didn't fit any of the costumes.
Oh, right. And what? Who were they though?
Oh, millions of people. There was like Rafiki.
No.
Yes.
Is that like a full suit with a head? That's
yeah,
not like
in
like
the
someone
parades.
With painted face. Oh no, that's the Disney musical, of course.
No, it's like a full-on monkey, right. Like literally huge with like a stick. And see, because I was so small, couldn't see anything. And they were taught me this routine and all that. I was like, I can't see what I'm doing. Like,
oh, that must have been awful.
It was just so ridiculously funny, but also just...
How long did you do that for?
So I only lasted like 6 months because...
That's a long time.
No.
Don't say only. That sounds hellish.
Do you know what I was saying to you that it was more this like living situation.
Right.
Because, I mean, I was only like 19. So it was just like, woo, we're having, you know, I'm in France and I'm meeting cool people and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But that only lasted so long because everyone was just given I told you they'd built these block of flats for the people who worked and built Disney. And rather than knocking them down, they were like, we can put the actors in here.
These are perfect for, these are terrible slums. Let's put the actors
in. Yeah. And it was called the Pleiades. I don't know if anyone ever listens to this that went to Disney. Asked it, it was called the Pleiades.
Right. I'm sure there'll be some Disney.
Anyone from the Pleiades? and they were like, and you know what? We won't just put one actor in a room. We'll put two.
So do you reckon there was one, like, construction worker per room?
You know, there
back
was.
In the day?
Yeah.
They, was
it,
a
was,
space?
It was. They said it was, you know, it was sort of like a thing of myth. People would tell, yeah. You know, you'd arrive and people would be like, I've been here for 4 years and I know the full story about this place.
It's like Murano Street student halls. They said that was based on a Swedish women's prison.
Really?
Yeah. And they were like, that's why it's so grim.
This is they said. Yeah, it was like
the stories, you know?
Yeah, it was going, yeah, there was, it was sort of like hardly any windows, any light, and just two single beds. And then my roommate I met, I was like, hello, like, I'm Joanne. And she was like, called Vanessa, and she didn't speak any English, and I didn't speak any French. I'd only done Spanish at school. And
not helpful.
Not helpful. And so then I showed up and she was like, who are you? And she did not, we didn't gel at all.
And you're in this tiny space.
Yeah. And she was Mickey, and she played Mickey.
Oh, star.
And she was addicted to World of Warcraft. Addicted to it.
So she did that in the room? Did she have a computer?
All night, yeah, all night. She would sit on her bed and play World of Warcraft. And just like, she would always be on the, like the headphone,
right,
with her boyfriend. So I would just hear like, bizu, bizu, like, and like all the time.
And you're sleeping.
And I'd be right next, like, please, for the love of God, or not. And she played that, so she never slept, right? And you know, and she was getting angrier and angrier, like, as the months went on.
Right.
And then one day, like, she just wasn't there. And so I go into work and I get taken up to, like, the manager's. And again, I didn't speak much French, and there was always, like, a language difficulty, like, I was trying to piece together the chat. And so I was like, you know, where's my roommate? Like, I don't know where she's gone. And
right.
And they were like, she signed off with depression.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, no, it's terrible. They're like, yeah, because living with you has
given... Oh, way.
This is said to me. I was like, living with me? I was like, she's never slept in, like, 4 months. She's playing World of Warcraft.
There might be a self-care issue here.
Yeah, I was like,
how do you say self-care in French?
I know, I was like, oh, how do you say, like, addicted to World of Warcraft in French?
L'addiction.
She has addiction
de
to
le monde du le Warcraft.
Computer. They were like,
awful.
They were like, yeah, she says you're really messy. I was like, oh, for goodness sake. I was like, the flat's a tip. I was like, it's both of us. Like, it's not just me.
The flat's a tip. Always a good one when there's a language barrier. Excuse me, by the way, that's a pigsty up there. That so flat is a tip.
Absolute pigsty, and I'm not taking the full blame for it. Because
she's in World of Warcraft all day.
She didn't. She hate, because the cook, the kitchen was like next to her bed. Because I told you it was like a tiny room.
Oh, so it's like an actual bed set.
It was an actual bed set.
So it's not like a shared kitchen in the...
No, like, oh, that's literally about the foot of the bed. It was like two hobs.
No.
And I'd be like, because my first time living away from home, I'd be like cooking things. I'd be like, do you know what? I think I'm going to make mince and potatoes today. And then I would like try and make mince and potatoes, and she would be disgusted,
right,
with like what I was cooking.
Presumably there was onion in there.
It was a
because
lot.
You do have to put onions in it.
Onion and garlic.
Oh my God.
Although you wouldn't put garlic in mince potatoes.
You would.
I would. I'm filthy.
And she's just there with her headset on trying to get away from you.
Yeah, and she would just eat these little sweets all the time called like long chat or something. They were like cat's tongue.
Right.
What's that in French?
Well, chat's definitely cat, but I don't know about tongue.
Anyway, for another day.
Yeah,
but that's
sure
when the sweet is called.
Write in, please.
Is that what your podcast is about? Like,
it's definitely about call centres for a start. It's good that we spent 20 minutes on
I'm
call
so
centers.
Sorry, was that 20 minutes? I'm so sorry. You'll
sorry
need to like rein me in because I'll go off on tangents.
It's all good. Tell me, right, okay, so we'll just put let's do that whole Disney thing in the call centre to one side, because we've covered like childhood.
We'll call that child. We call that the difficult years.
The tricky years, okay. But I mean, since then.
Yes.
Just if I can put it in a box really quickly, you have worked loads.
I think so.
It's, right, you know how people, it's from the outside, things always look different. Let me put it to you this way. From my perspective, you are one of the actors who works a lot.
Really?
Yeah, you seem to be one of the people who's doing good stuff often.
I'm totally unemployed right now.
Right, so it's good to compare the outside perception to the actual reality. I mean, how does it differ? Tell me. You're unemployed now.
I'm unemployed.
For a start.
To kick it off, right. I need a job.
Yeah, okay.
No, I do. I think I had like a good run for a few years.
Yeah. You were in Our Ladies of Perpetual Succor.
Yeah, I did that. But I did the tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do the first time around the girls were doing it. I was doing Dragon.
Oh, Dragon.
For the second time.
I loved that show.
I know. It's like one of my faves.
Who was in it? Gavin Wright.
Gavin, yes.
Gavin Wright was in it, wasn't it? Yeah,
Gavin
yeah.
was in it. What and a Martin show McCormick.
That was.
And,
oh, yeah.
But that's where I met Scott, like a partner. So.
Right. Oh, way back then.
Way back, yeah. So we did it. I think I was 23 when we did it the first time, or 22, 23.
Right.
Martin played my dad.
Wow.
I know.
That's harsh.
I thought it was Gavin's son. Yeah. He didn't look that old.
No.
But no, it worked because it was like a young family and it was like grief and everything. And no, I loved that show so much. Because it was like the first time where I was in a room, because there was no words.
Yes.
We had a script, obviously, like Ollie wrote the script, but there was nothing tying you down. Like, you weren't overthinking this line, like, you know, what is the third meaning of this line that I'm like missing? It was like,
do you want a cup of tea? Do you want a cup of tea?
Do you want a cup of tea? Yeah. I know. So we didn't have any of that. And it was like, it totally kept growing and changing. We had the scene and we'd play the scene and then we'd do it again and we'd do it again.
Yeah.
And the music would like lead it. But no, I loved it so much. We did it twice, but and we only really went, I think we went to Manchester. We went to a couple of places like out with Scotland, but
I remember
not
seeing
much.
It at the Sitz.
Yeah, we did it at the Sitz.
Seems ages ago, yeah.
It
so
was.
That's when Our Ladies was first.
So the second time I did Dragon, that's when, right next door, because we were rehearsing, I think, the Glue Factory, and the girls were in the other room, or one of the rooms,
right.
And obviously I'm friends with all the girls and Karen and Dawn, so I would meet them, see them now and again, and they were all talking about the show.
Right.
And then the second time it came around, the girls were like, they're going to need a swank for this, so, like, get yourself down. I was like, right, okay, like, yeah, well, you know, go down. And they said, yeah, like, will you come on board and be the swing? And so...
Wow. That's a really challenging role, isn't it?
It was. I thought I was going to my holidays when I signed up for that job, because I was like, yes, I've got this covered. Like, I won't even be touching the stage. And, you know, they were going to Melbourne and America, and I was like, I'm going to have a great time.
And you had to know all the parts?
No, it was me and Kirsty Finlay, and there's two of us, so we knew three parts each.
Right.
But then quite my friend Mel, who was on the show as well, she unfortunately had to leave the show. So then what happened was I just ended up doing her part, like, for the last, like, I did the America and Australia run, and then I did the 2 months in London, so I ended up finishing the show.
Right.
And then so Kirsty Finlay was amazing, and she ended up, like, swinging.
Wow, the lot.
Yeah, she
did. They
didn't
hire somebody else at that point then.
No, I think by that point they were like, we're going to wait until they do it again. And
so it was just like, fingers crossed, let's get on with it.
It was, but I think because it was such a bonding experience for the girls, because you just, you all got each other through it. You just were like, we're going to keep this going.
How
amazing. Keep this machine going. And because, they were just, we just did it. I don't know how, but it was. I remember finishing it and just being like, I'm really tired.
I think you don't let on how tired you are until those things finish.
You feel it, don't you?
The next day you go, oh, I've got a cold and a sore stomach and my arm's being weird and I'm going to sleep for a week.
Yeah.
And so like, your body just goes, ah, okay, so I'm done.
I always get ill and everyone says that, like, I'm going to get the flu now. That's me. I finished Panto. I'm definitely, that's like the chat of the wings, isn't it?
It is.
Definitely getting a flu. I mean, I feel it here.
On Monday, I had a tiny tickle in my throat, but by Tuesday, I've got a temperature.
I know.
But you talk yourself into it. I know.
Although, see, last year, I got like the neurovirus 3 times, right? All at the worst points when I was like supposed to be doing shows.
Oh, God.
And at the Oran Moore, like, I had it twice working for them, and I feel they think I've got like a neurovirus problem because, like, it was so both
that,
times.
You were like, get Joanne McGinnis. What, norovirus?
Joanne? Yeah, seriously.
Nora Joanne.
Nora Joanne.
No way.
They were like, don't, she'll throw up everywhere. I don't know what it was. Like, I ended up taking one of those, you know, ones, the tablets you put under your gum to stop yourself throwing up.
Oh, yes, I had them.
I can't remember what they're called, but they're handy.
Yes. I had that because about a year ago, I got really sick when I was in America. I had to go to the ER, A&E, for about 2 hours. And then I got the bill.
Oh.
Luckily, the insurance covered it, but they sent the bill to the house and I had to, like, process it, send it to the insurance and all that. It was $1,800.
No way.
And I had, one of the things I had on the prescription was those tiny little...
Much was the, what was the charge for those?
Can't remember, but I mean, the prescriptions were anything from $20 to one of them was over 100 for about 7 tablets of some antibiotic.
Wow.
And I've just, it was just a thing where like, I was a bit weird. I had an inner ear thing and then I got like a funny tummy and it just kind of went on. Whereas here you would just, you know,
yeah,
you might end up at the out of hours doctor a couple of times. You might have one course, but you know, and you would kind of think nothing of it. But there it just turns into a whole, I had a CAT scan. They were taking blood and all that. And it's like, loads of unnecessary stuff. Because they just put it on the form.
Because they can charge it, yeah.
And also they cover all the bases in case you sue them.
Wow.
So they're like, put them through all the machines. In case he goes, you didn't put me through that machine, that's why I've got a sore hand.
But then that's why the bill was just like...
And it's massive.
£1,800, that's crazy. Right. That was the same in Hong Kong when we were out there. We went to the hospital with Scott. Yeah. But he, we got the bill. It was like the insurance would cover it. But just for him to go in and have like, I think he got an IV drip. And something else, like it's a look over. A doctor looked him over.
Yeah, you're all right.
You're looking fine. £900 they charged.
Oh my God.
For like a look over.
A look over. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say look over.
Is that what they call it?
Is that an airdrie
Excuse
thing?
Me. I don't know. Maybe it is.
But doing the doctor for a wee look over.
Excuse me. I'm here for a look over. Can you look me up and down? Just tell me what you think.
How do you say look over in Mandarin?
I don't know. I know.
Mandarin. Am I right?
Yeah, I think it is Mandarin.
Yes.
I mean, I don't. You're asking me. I have no idea.
I know. So then, our ladies, do you feel like that kind of upped your kind of cachet a wee bit? Like, do from that point on,
it definitely helped in London. Like, it helped me with my next job because then I ended up. I think someone had seen the show the National, and then I got brought in for the Divide. Like, what I ended up doing next,
the Divide, yeah,
which was like 8-hour play that I did.
And there was no need for it to be ours.
It was no.
If you don't mind my saying.
I mean, I definitely don't mind you saying.
I saw
having
both parts of it.
Having been in it,
yeah.
There was no need for it to be
I
ours.
I loved the first part of it. I really did.
Oh, that's good.
I did. I thought it was great. And I thought
the music was amazing, wasn't it?
I had worked with Chris Nightingale when I was a kid. And I didn't realise that he had done it. And then at the end when the curtain went out and you could see it, all the musicians and everything, I just thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it was, and I actually was really proud of it. When we did it at the Old Vic, like a few months later, it was down to 3.5 hours. And I know that is still very long.
Yeah, but for the two plays.
Yeah, for the whole thing, we did it in 3.5 hours. And by that point, I was like, you know what? I'm really proud of this because this started...
Yeah.
I mean, I think when it was the first read-through was 13 hour long, 13 hours.
No.
Yeah.
So what did they do over a couple of days?
Yeah, they did it. I think they did it in Scarborough. They just got everyone to read it before we came in for the first round of like putting on his feet. So it was like 13 hours when they read it. And then we showed up and then it was read for 8 hours.
Right.
And then the next time it was 3.5. And so when it got to that, I was like, it felt like it filtered through. Everything had like,
yeah,
it needs to be.
The important stuff is there.
And they knew, right, and it was left to the top. And so then by the time we did it, I was like, I was really, really happy with it. But that was the first time I've been like a really evil, like I was sort of a twisted.
You're a baddie, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, definitely a baddie. But when I went into the audition, I was like, I'm never going to get this. I'm not evil enough. Turns out I am.
Turns out, no problem. But it's sometimes that's good if you go in with that feeling of like, no way.
I know, but that's
you just relax a bit, don't you? And then you,
yeah, I do that a lot.
Assuming that you'll get it then. And you know, that double negative.
Yes.
If I really don't care, then I'll really get it.
I know, you talk
really
to yourself.
Because I really do care.
Although that for Local Hero, I did the workshops for it. And right. I genuinely was sitting like, I mean, who would I be in this? I'd be like, I mean, I'm never going to get asked to do this. Like, I mean, I don't think this is definitely not a part for me. And so, because Matthew Pigeon said this to me afterwards, he was like, I remember you for the workshops. He was like, you're really relaxed. I was like, yeah, I was dead sure that I would never be brought back.
Well, why bother?
Yeah, and then he was like, no, because I was reading for different people.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't like they said, can you read for this specific person? I just was like, oh, I'm just here to read.
Sort of like filling in gaps and stuff.
Yeah, and
so
I
you're
thought,
like, eh, no way.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's fine. And then six months of my life was like,
yeah,
Local Hero.
That must have been a cool experience. So that's another thing that just from the very beginnings of it, you've been involved in.
Yeah, from the creating. I know it was really, really cool because you get a chance to create like the first time, like it's been done on stage. You can do anything with it. So that was really good. And I actually watched the film when I did the workshop the year before. Mm-hmm. So like I sort of knew the film and yeah. Well, you saw it, didn't you?
I did and I loved so much. But and I'm always wary of like getting too involved in the likes of the film or the book.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm gonna do it. I'm not sure how much to be getting into that stuff when I'm doing something. I know you can't ignore it and that would be mad. But it's funny, isn't it? Because you don't want to go in and be like, aye, but in the film.
I know, there's always one person, though. Like, there's always like, actually.
Yeah, I think this was in, it was 40 minutes in. Hang on, I've got the DVD in my bag.
Although I did a Shakespeare once and there was like someone in the room who was like that, who like knew.
The film?
The play.
Oh,
like
that's okay, though.
Inside out. And we'd be like, actually, like, you know, this was done this way. And I'd be like, no, we're doing it now. It doesn't matter.
What Shakespeare was it?
As You Like It.
Was that the Regent's Park one?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It was, and so, yeah, there was...
I'm quietly guessing who that was.
What do you mean, who I played?
Who was the person who knew?
Oh, yeah, it's because it didn't know. No, I don't think it's who you're thinking it was. I know who you're thinking. No, it wasn't. It honestly wasn't.
Okay, that's fine. That's funny, isn't it?
I know.
Because yeah, Max brains. Webster had brought quite a few people that we had all worked together on his Winter's Tale, like a few months before that.
No, it was like a younger guy. He was like so like lovely and so, but he was really into the history of it and just knew. And I was always like, does it matter? Like, because we're doing it now, like, do we have to... You have to let that go, I think.
What do you feel about that reverence for Shakespeare? I mean, it's so prevalent, isn't it?
It is. Did you find that when you... Because you did Twelfth Night, didn't you? Did you find there was people who had different perspectives of it? Like, some people were very, like had seen it performed and they knew, like, how it was going to be and they had the characters in their heads. And then there was... Like, I hadn't seen it on stage, I'd you like it. So for me... It was like a new piece of work for me because...
So you just approach it like almost like new writing?
Yeah, because I had just read it and I hadn't...
Yeah.
So then that is different because then when people start talking about the scenes, they're like, you know, when this person is this and they're very certain, like...
Here's the standard kind of response to that. I mean, I suppose I've not seen a lot of Shakespeare done, like various different productions. So I don't have four different, you know, Romeo and Juliets in my head.
I know.
To think about and compare with. So I do kind of read it and just go, all right, okay. I like discovering it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like hearing all those people's different, you know, people that have been around for a while and have done a few productions of something. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Although I had a terrible Shakespeare audition like a few months ago.
Did you?
Where I was just thinking when you were talking about, I don't think it even matters. Even though I like spent that time, felt like I got, by the end of the job, I was like, do you know what? I feel confident now. Like I've just did at Regent's Park. I feel like...
With As You Like It.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah.
And you can just go and be clueless with any other show.
Exactly.
Right?
It doesn't mean that you know. No. It doesn't mean you know anything. I was like, because you've spent months on it. Mm. But then when I went into that audition, actually it was just, I flew from Dublin when I said to you, me and Karen were hanging out.
Right.
And.
What was it for?
Oh my goodness, what was it for again? It was.
Didn't forget the name of the play in the audition, did you?
It was The Merchant of Venice.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, I could have, but it was, you know, it's the first audition that I've actually been late for.
Oh, that's a good start.
It was the first of like year, like so out of what 10 years of doing this, I've never been late for an audition, and my flight was delayed from Dublin.
Oh, no.
It was so annoying, and I was on the flight, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. I'd got up at 5 to get there, and I had to fly back for a show at night for Local Hero, so I knew I'd have to make it quick, and I showed up, you know, that sweaty, panicky way, like. And I managed to only be 45 minutes late and I was like apologising like profusely, like, so sorry. Like, I never do this. This does not reflect me.
Yeah, but it was a flight that was delayed. It's not like
I know,
you were
about
having a coffee and then you were like, oops, I'm late for an audition.
I know, but then you just start, I think there's always that thing where they're like, at the very least, show up on time. That's for me.
That's your first thing you got to do.
Yeah.
Tick. Yeah, totally.
Even in the job, just like be there at least.
Can you be here before 10 and then we'll discuss the rest.
And we'll talk about what you're saying. Like,
can you learn the lines and then we'll see if there's anything else bonus.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I failed at my only like first rule to be there.
Right, okay.
And so I get in the room and it was to read for, I can't even remember, it was like one of the, it was like a character that was like going to be, it's normally played by a man and then we're going to try it in like a female voice. Mm. And so I get there and it's talking about the ship, like it's one of the first scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And so my printer wasn't working as well, so I'd wrote it on a piece of paper. And again, I've never done that.
Which makes you look like you've done maybe look that you've done quite a lot of preparation.
Really? Because I thought it made me look really unprofessional. I was like, do I look...
No, because that could be your method.
Right.
Of course it wasn't, but they don't know that.
No, it was just one of those hideous days. So then I was like, oh, for goodness sake, this is terrible. So I was trying to scroll on the paper. For some reason, there was a panel of like 7 people.
Oh.
Which hasn't happened in a while, but I was like, why is there so many people here for this Shakespeare?
Where was it for?
It's not Regent's Park, but it's the other outdoor theatre. Is it Stafford?
Oh, Stafford. Yeah, yeah. They have a Shakespeare season every summer, don't they?
I'm glad you said yes, because I couldn't have went on to explain that anymore.
They did a Scottish play last year, and they're... Because Jess Hardwick's doing one.
Yes, that's the one. So she's doing... This is the one I read
that's
for.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, got you.
So I went in, and there was like a huge panel, and I started doing it, and I just knew. Straight away, my voice in my head was going... You have no idea what you're saying. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know anything.
Yeah.
And so then the director was saying, so, like, what do you think he's saying there? And I was like, I thought he was talking about sex. And the director goes, no, no, no.
And then even close.
rather than just saying, yes. You're right, he's not talking about that. For some reason, because I was so panicked and the adrenaline, mm-hmm. I was like, no, he is definitely talking about sex. I think it's a metaphor because he's talking about the ship, but I don't think he means it. And somewhere along the panel started laughing. And I was like, I'm sorry, I've taken this too far. But I'm like, I'm not obsessed with sex.
Oh no, this is terrible.
It was so awkward. And
even
and
after he goes, no, I don't think that's it, you go, no, no, it is.
No, it's definitely, because he was like, no, because this character I'm thinking this character's going to be gay. I was like, well, gay people have sex.
Oh, and good line. Yeah.
And exactly, in my head I'm going, did you just say that in an audition? Like, why are you justifying this? You know you're not going to get this job. Oh. Like, you know there's no point of trying.
Yeah.
So eventually I was like, you know, thanks for seeing me today. Like, you know, I had my case in the room. Like, I'm just going to take my case and go up and do Local Hero. And the director was like, that's great. Thanks for preparing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, higher tone, like.
Blatant.
And I was like.
Awkward.
Well, I wrote it out.
I've got a method. I mean, I'm wrong, but I've got a method.
So maybe then I do take out their choices that you asked me earlier.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Thanks for preparing.
Preparing. I was like, oh, thank you. And then the casting director walked me out. I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm just going to go back to Scotland now.
I'll go back and do a Scottish thing.
Just going to go back and
don't mind me.
Pretend to be a community in Scotland. Like,
I won't bother you again.
I'm so sorry for your time.
Is that your worst experience, do you think?
No, God, that's just the most recent one. You kidding me?
It gets worse than that.
I've had loads of horrible auditions.
Oh, have you?
All right. Please tell me you have.
Not really. I mean, I don't know why that is. In fact, my audition for Local Hero was probably one of my worst.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't know if you had this, or you did the workshop, so you maybe didn't.
Yeah, I got cast from the workshop.
Right, so you had a different experience, but they wanted people to tell an anecdote or a joke in their own Scottish accent, apparently by way of proving that they had a Scottish accent.
Prove it in a joke.
And I was sort of like, but see if I walk in and go, hi, how you doing? I'm Brian. Will that not... They won't twig that I'm Scottish, no?
Surely did they not just say it, you don't bother doing the joke because we know you're Scottish?
No, they made me tell the joke and then they sort of didn't get it and then I sort of explained it.
No, you didn't explain the joke.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great joke, and
can you tell it on the podcast?
Yeah. So this duck walks into a bar and he says to the barman, "Have you got any bread?"
Mm-hmm.
The barman says, "No, we don't have any bread. This is a bar." And he says, "Oh," and he waddles out, kind of disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Not waddled. Show acting skills. And then he comes in the next day and he goes, "How you doing, mate? Have you got any bread?" And the guy goes, "No, we don't have." No, let me get. It's not that we ran out of bread, yes. We don't serve bread. You need to go. We're not having. So he goes out. All right, okay. So every day he's coming in. If you get any bread, if you get any bread. And the barman's getting more and more irate. Same time every day. It's always the same barman. After a couple of weeks, he comes in and he sees him coming. "Excuse me, if you get any bread?" He says, "Listen, you. If you come in here tomorrow asking for bread, I'm going to staple your beak to the bar." Waddles out, a bit disappointed. He walks in the next day, sure enough. Same time. "Excuse me, mate. Have you got any staples?" He says, no. Have you got any bread?
And they didn't laugh.
They didn't laugh. And I went, you know, because the staples. And they were like, oh. Okay, what are you singing?
No.
First in a chorus. First in a chorus, Nightmare. And as I went into a little bit of falsetto, I did a song from Dear Evan Hansen, a tiny bit of falsetto. And I saw the guy put his head down and write a note as I went, there's something.
Yeah.
And of course, in my, I wasn't looking at him, I was looking over the top of him.
Yeah.
But I saw his head go down, and I saw his pen moving, and I was like, well, he's writing down.
Oh, I hate when they write.
Falsetto failure. He could have been writing brilliant falsetto, unlikely.
Smashed it.
Yeah, right. Because it wasn't great. I remember going, it wasn't perfect. And then when I saw him do that, I was like, ah, his bottle's gone, forget it.
He's like, stapled it.
So then I was like, yeah, thanks for your time. I've got the accordion as well, which I always try and shoehorn in if they don't ask.
No, you didn't.
So I went, I didn't know if you wanted instruments.
Yeah.
Because they talk, you know what's...
Of course, yeah.
So I was like, I can play a bit. And they were like, no, it's fine. And I went, okay, well, I can't. I'm quite good.
Yeah. Well, like, Helen played in then. She played the...
Right. I've done that before. Like, yeah. I did an audition where I played a bit and it was like a slow thing that he asked me to do. And then I went, before the end, I went, just so you know, I can play fast as well.
No, you didn't.
I did, because I wanted him to know that, like,
just so
I didn't,
you know,
just blag this one thing that you wanted for the, like, I can actually play this instrument for real.
Oh, I do, like, all the speeds.
Right. And he went, all right, go on then. And I just played some fast thing just to be like, I can play the accordion. Stupid. Didn't get it.
It's like, just so you know, I can act fast as well.
How fast do you want me to act? You tell me the speed,
you
I'll do.
You tell me, I'll do it. I'll rattle through it.
No bother. I can rap, whatever you want. So I did play fast and I did not get the job. But I've since worked with that director a lot, so.
So he must have liked it.
We look back and laugh. Ha. Ah. Oh, the folly of youth.
Well, I got asked for a story on Monday, an audition.
Did you?
They were like, can you tell us a story?
Without telling you beforehand, they were going to ask
it
you.
It said that. On the brief, can you do the scene, which is quite, it was quite long. It was like a big scene. And then to tell a story on any theme. And it was so vague. And I was like, this is the so vague. So the scene, in this scene, the character that I was reading for goes into her own mind. Our thoughts just start multiplying and they become even worse. And she gets herself. Well, I said in the room, I went, it's like a giggle loop of thoughts. And they were like, a giggle loop? And now I'm like, is that a word?
Giga loop.
A giggle loop of thoughts.
Like giggle or giga?
I'm not sure.
Do you mean like giga as in gigabyte?
No, I think I mean giggle. A giggle loop.
Giggle loop.
Is that a word?
I've never heard that before. So no wonder they were confused.
You can take that out of the podcast.
No, that's good, but I'm going to find out what it is. Giggle loop.
Or maybe it is giga loop. I just thought it was like a sort of thought process. Like
right
when
now.
You get lost in your thoughts. Because he also quizzed me on that word as well, and I was like...
Oh, giggle loop on Urban Dictionary.
As it came up.
You're surrounded by people. The giggle loop begins. A thought comes into your head. The worst thing I could do through a minute's silence is laugh. And then you think that, you almost laugh.
It is
but you
a
don't,
real
you control
word.
Yourself. And you think how terrible it would have been if you had. And it goes on and on.
Yeah,
and
that's
on.
What I meant. Like, and that's what the character was doing.
Giggle loop. And it's from a series of Coupling, apparently. The first episode of Coupling.
Oh, I love... Coined. Do you know what? I watched that show in the 90s. That's where I've got it from.
There you go. Never heard of that.
I watched that show. Used to love that programme. Yeah, so that's where I got it from. So I said that to him. I felt this character was on the giggle loop and he was like, the what now? And I was like, so I've chosen a story to tell. Because first thing I said, we want to hear your story before the scene.
Ugh.
I thought, oh, why should you just see the scene? Like, because you don't want this story because it would be, grow arms and legs, you'll be here all day.
Right,
as you know, doing this with me.
Yeah.
That I just go off on tangents. So I said, right, okay, I'll tell the story. And so they said to me, yeah, go for it. Tell us your story. I said, I've chosen this story because it's happened to me and it's when my thoughts went mad. I don't know if you want the story.
What, me?
Uh-huh, like,
absolutely.
Right, you want it now? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're running out of time, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'll do it really quickly. I mean, so then I said, my friend got me a job years ago. I didn't have an acting job and they were like, do you want a front of house job? I went, yeah, I've not done that before. Like in London. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it. So I turn up, I'm there 2 weeks. I'm trying to get the lay of the land. Like who's who's pals with who and everything. What's my job? What is my, you know, what's my job? Like really? What would I do? And then I was overthinking it. And then they said, then I got an audition through and I said to my boss, look, can I just go and sit in the stockroom today because I've got lines to learn and like I really want to try and get this job tomorrow. He was like, fine, we don't usually let people in the stockroom, on the first 2 weeks. You know, we don't do that, Joanne. That's okay. A 4 month job. Ooh. If you've been here 4 months, I was like, please, I just need to learn lines. So they put me in the stock room, and then my job was then there's this industrial freezer that would hold like 50 ice creams a tray. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my job for the day, I've got my lines out and I'm just putting the ice creams in, and that's all I have to do for the full day. And I go home, go to my audition, all fine, come into work, feeling good. I'm like, that went well, you know, feeling good at myself. And I come into work and it's like team meeting, everyone to the stalls. So I go to the stalls and I'm just like, maybe this is what they do. Right. And the manager stands up, and I remember he was called David Scotland. I remember his name. I know, because I'm Scottish. I was like, David's going to be good to me. I'm Scottish. He's not going to pull me up. He did. He stood up. He was like, we've had an incident. So there's an incident last night. We all came in this morning, all the managers, to open up. And there was a river of cream, multicoloured cream.
Oh, no, you left
coming
open.
Out of the stockroom. I hadn't shut the fridge.
Oh, no.
There was 50 ice creams a tray. We're talking
hundreds.
We're talking about thousands of pounds of stock.
Oh, no.
They said there was thousands of pounds of worth of ice cream in there.
Because they sell it for about 17 quid a jar.
Exactly. And I was like, but that was before the upsale. So, I mean, I lost them like 50 grand. So no, but so then I was like, they said it like as an open comment to the room.
Right.
So then I'm like, slowly raising my hand like,
yeah,
that was me. We know, Joanne. We wanted to see if you owned up to it. Yeah, and I was like, well, of course, but
speak to you.
As I just said to me beforehand, I'm like mortified. Like, I'm really sorry, everyone. They were like, there will be no ice creams tonight. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to last in this job. So then I said to them, just in front of everyone, I was like, am I fired? And they're like, no, you're allowed one mistake. Like, we'll let you off. I was like, okay. Go home that night, and this is when the giggle loop happened. I go home and speak to Scott. I was like, you know, my partner, I was like, it was so embarrassing. And now, but what if I've done it again?
Ah.
Because it would be even worse if I showed up tomorrow and I'd left it open for a second time.
Right.
And he was like, but you haven't.
You haven't been in there.
I was in there. Oh, I was helping out again. So then I went, I could have done it. And when an hour later, I was like, I've definitely left the fridge door open.
Okay.
Just my mind is like going. So then I thought the best thing to do was to contact David Scotland and ask him to go back and check the fridge. So then I looked up the number and I couldn't find like a number for him. And I was like, I found some sort of, it said like a manager's number. So I tried to call it. I ended up sending a text like, hi, David Scotland. I'm so sorry. I believe I've left the fridge door open. Could you please go back and check? Thanks so much, Joanne.
Uh-huh.
Come on to work. Another team meeting. I'm like, oh no, there's a team meeting again. What does this mean? What does this mean for me and my career and the front of the house? So I go and like, I'm sitting and David Scotland's like, so just so you know, the phone number that we give out, we'd really appreciate if you didn't use that. It's actually for the whole building. So if you send a text message, it doesn't come to us. It's actually like an automated machine for like the whole building. Like they'll hear it. So it was like a robot when they come into work, just the people that work in the theatre.
Hi, David Scotland.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It is Joanne. Like, I've left the freezer open. Yeah, like a voice.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
And again, I put my hand up like, that was me. Like, why could no one take me aside?
It said my name on it this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally get that though. Where you go, have I? Did I? Mm-hmm. Though? Again? And how bad would that be? And what would that mean?
Yeah.
Wait, you told that story in an audition?
I told that on Monday in audition.
What did they react like?
They sort of like laughed, but they were like, okay, well, let's try and put this in the scene. And it led on a chat about the scene. And then, but I was in for like 45 minutes, I think, because I told that story.
Yeah. It was 40 minutes the story and 5 minutes the scene.
You can cut that story out if you want.
Well, let me know if you ever hear about that job.
I mean, it's Thursday. I surely would have heard, you know, by
not
now.
For Monday? Oh, you never know with these things.
You never know.
Keep checking your email obsessively. That's my tip.
I've got days to keep checking.
Yay. What a fun weekend ahead.
I know. But anyway, I've already like, embarrassed myself in front of them and, you know, so.
What's the worst that can happen?
But I told you when I left that audition, they were like, so how are you at ballet? I went, I'm not good.
See, that's good though, because I'd be like, yeah, no, well, I did a bit. when I was younger, and yeah, I'm sure I could pick it up again.
I know, but
say
I've
yes
done
to everything. Terrible.
Too many times, and it's just fallen flat on my face.
Then you're on the back of the horse with the sword and the shield, and you're like, I shouldn't have done this.
He said you're a professional horse rider.
Fallen off. I'm really sorry.
But everybody had that, didn't they, on their spotlight?
Horse riding, yeah.
For like 5 years, I had like fencing.
Yeah, because you did one class.
No, I haven't even done a class. I've just seen it on the TV once.
Yeah. No, I've got a fence in my garden, so I guess it's kind of the same. I've been near a fence.
I think I had free running on it for ages. Like,
free running?
I was like, I've ran somewhere.
Didn't pay for it. Parkour.
I'm like, I could probably do parkour.
That's not what it's... It's not like a thing where you have your ambitions on it. Free running.
I honestly had free running.
Free solo. All right.
Free running and fencing. I definitely had horse riding.
Yeah. Ballet now.
But I'm not taking you.
Anecdote. Storytelling.
Storytelling.
Old fashioned storytelling.
Maybe I should put that on.
Yarn. Spinning a yarn. Very good. Well, great. Thanks very much for coming.
I'm so sorry. I feel
all
like
the way from Airdrie.
I feel like I did, yeah. Sunny Airdrie.
Beautiful. Cheers.
I feel like I didn't give you anything that you probably would want on a theatre podcast, but I gave you, there you go.
This isn't for my theatre podcast.
What's this for?
This is my other podcast. People who don't know what the topic is.
Rambling?
Rambling. It's Ramblers podcast.
I'm so sorry.
Free running. Free chat.
This is a free running podcast.
And like so many guests, she was saying, you've got to edit it. Oh, take it all out. Take all that daft stuff out. And really, I've just left it because I thought it was hilarious. And I hope that you did too. So there you go, Joanne McGuinness. Thank you so much for making the time to travel. And that's the other thing. People travel miles and miles to come and chat to me in my wee hoose. And she was one of them. I've got more coming your way. I've got a couple more returning guests, which I'd like to try out as a new type of format. And with it coming up to the Fringe, it gives me a chance to speak to people that maybe I wouldn't normally speak to. But of course, everybody's really busy and it's difficult for me to get a space in Edinburgh to do the recording. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's, on the one hand, it's a plethora of new guests available to me, and yet everyone's so busy and space is hard to come by. In a sense, it kind of restricts what I'm able to do with the show. But worry not, have we been through two Fringes together yet? No, because we've not done 2 years. We've been through a Fringe together already with putting it together. We can do it. We've got another one coming up. And then we're approaching 100 episodes. So I'll let you know more about that as the plans develop, what we're going to do for the 100th episode. But in the meantime, just keep listening, keep supporting the show. Remember, you can donate by going to puttingittogethercast.com and clicking the yellow donate button. And until next week, I'll just leave you alone and let you have a wonderful week, and keep looking after yourself. Breathe deep, smile, be grateful. It's all good. Thanks for being part of the journey. Cheerio now.